News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
One story dominated the headlines yesterday. The gruesome murder of a child. Because he is a child, 17-year-old Keane Mulready Woods. Horrific. His remains were identified yesterday. Kieran, people are understandably horrified at this story, but you think there's an element of at least some people talking out of both sides in their mouth on this.
Yeah, why was that child killed? And I mean that in the broadest sense. Forget different feuds and gangs and what side you happen to be on. They're killed because the value of the illegal drugs trade. They were killed because there is such a demand for illegal drugs in this country. He was killed and others have been killed, and all those killed in the Hutchinson feud have been killed because so many people, and I'd wager some are probably listening to this show, use cocaine at the weekends, for example.
Yeah, sometimes it's rampant.
Beyond the weekends. It is absolutely rampant. We talked about it. It was actually nearly a year ago. People might remember. It was big news at the time. The Global Drug Survey came out. It was about 150,000 people around the world were surveyed. In Ireland, about a third of respondents had used cocaine in the previous 12 months. A third of the country. People who listen to this show won't be surprised at all by that. They might remember that we carried out our own research here at News Talk Breakfast. We found that there was traces of cocaine found in about two-thirds of Dublin pubs that we went into. We went into a number of public buildings and in Houston Station in the Natural History Museum. In the toilets in the Natural History Museum, we found traces of cocaine use. We have, according to the latest European Drugs Monitor, one of the highest rates of cocaine use amongst young people in Europe. We're in the top five, and I think we're tied with four other countries. We're actually the top one, five of us tied. And it isn't, back in the boom, there was a sense, the previous boom, the Celtic Tiger, there was a sense this was a Dublin phenomenon, certainly a city phenomenon, that it was people doing well.
You pick every up, parish
you
the
pick
country.
Up the Kenny people, the Longford Leader, the Kerryman, whatever paper, the Carlow Nationalist, you name it, you pick it up, you'll find stories of cocaine use all over this country. So all these people who are horrified, and they're right to be horrified, I'm sure they're horrified. I'm not suggesting they're not horrified.
Look in the mirror?
Look in the mirror a little bit. The reason there is supply is because there is demand.
People will say, you know what people are going to say though. They're going to text in and go, well, there's one simple way of getting rid of all this. If you legalise it, legalise all drugs.
I don't know, is that the solution? Legalise all drugs, because you're not taking away, you're not dealing then with the harm that drugs do on a personal level.
Yeah.
And there's an argument that one third of people have tried it in the last 12 months, that could increase. I know, look, people will disagree with me. This has been looked at in other countries. I'm not suggesting that's the answer, but certainly those people who are absolutely appalled, and rightly appalled, and I'm sure they are genuinely appalled at what has happened in the last 48 hours, the story as it has unfolded, would want to look in the mirror if they're using cocaine this weekend. And like I said, they have to be. Some of them have to be listening to this show if a third of the country are doing it.
Yeah. And by the way, for those people who are going to text in and say, legalising drugs is going to take the crime out of it, have a look at Amsterdam. That hasn't been the experience there. Okay, 53106, as Kieran says, let us know your views on that. We are going to stay with the story of Keane Mulready Woods now. We are joined on the line by John Hand, reporter with the Irish Sun. John, tell us, what do we know about Keane Mulready Woods?
Morning, Shane. Yeah, Keane Mulready Woods, he was a 17-year-old boy from Drogheda in County Louth. Now, he went missing on Sunday, and just a week beforehand, he was issued with an official Garda information message, and that's a message given of a formal warning that there's information, there's intelligence there that your life is under an active threat. The young boy, he was connected to both sides of the feud. He was convicted last month of intimidating the mother of a teenager with a drugs debt to one of the feuding mobs. There was also a social media post of him being warned, a social media post warning him that he'd be killed and dismembered. So his life was under threat. He was playing both sides of the feud, but at the end of the day, when you step back, he was just a boy, just 17 years old, and it's sadly yet another example of a young lad being lured into this murky world, and this is what can happen to them.
Yeah, because I mean, there'll be people who don't know the crime scene as well as you do, listening this morning, who'll be saying, "How does a child get mixed up in this violent, dangerous world?" But it's probably not that uncommon, is it?
Not nowadays. We're back into Kieran was just talking about the Ireland cocaine epidemic, and we're back into a booming economy, and that's what drives all this. This dispute is about drugs, turf, and money, and you have the gang bosses using young foot soldiers to carry out crimes on their behalf, to collect drug debts, and to carry out shootings and careless attacks. But at the end of the day, they don't have any concern for these foot soldiers. It's a massive issue for Gardaí. When you look at the Coolock feud, even four of the five men that have been killed there were aged in their early 20s. And it's a huge issue for Gardaí. This murder is something like you'd see in the streets of, you know, Colombia or Mexico. It's narco terrorism, but the reality is it's on our doorsteps now.
We know when the Gardaí are given resources and they're allowed to concentrate on a specific problem, we know they can tackle it. We've seen it on a number of occasions, Limerick being one, the murder of Veronica Guerin being another. Are they being given, do Gardaí feel they have the resources they need to tackle these gangs?
Yeah, well, last night at the press conference in Drogheda Garda Station, Christine Mangan, the chief superintendent, felt as if he does. This investigation now is across three Garda divisions in Coolock, Mountjoy and Drogheda, being led from Drogheda. Chief Superintendent Mangan has himself have had massive success in the past, and he's led the probe into the Scissor Sisters case, and you know, he warned gangs last night as well that this will not continue, and he does feel he has the resources. But we saw yesterday as well with Micheál Martin in Drogheda that it's already coming up on the doorsteps in the general election, and people are living in fear, and it's a massive part of the conversation there. But yes, there's never, Gardaí always feel they need more resources.
Yeah.
And when is there enough? It's about policing now, and we have to trust Gardaí that they'll lead this to a conclusion.
Okay, John, thanks for talking to us this morning. John Hand, their reporter with the Irish Sun. Now, Henry McKean visited Drogheda yesterday to get local reaction to this horrific killing. Just a quick warning, particularly if there are young ears listening, this report has graphic descriptions from the start, is not suitable for younger ears.
You're afraid to walk around the town.
And how does it feel to be afraid to walk around your own town?
Not nice. The gangland food. Well, the guards are doing everything they can. Like, it's crazy at the moment. Anyway, they're going into their houses, they're doing everything they can, like, to try stop them, and searching their cars, they're getting all the drugs out of their houses. They're doing all they can at the moment. So it's not really, you know, it's very hard to stop it.
And how do you feel about it all, living and working in Drogheda?
Oh, God, like, I actually walked home where the shooting was. I actually get bus errand. I just woke up in the paint shop, and I was walking home, and I was about 5 or 10 minutes. I would have been walking on that bridge, the Bridge of Peace, that's where I walk. When they're doing it, they're not thinking about anybody else. They don't care who they shoot. Like, a taxi man there got shot, and, like, he's only out trying to earn a living. I have a daughter that's 16, and to be honest with you, I don't care about people saying, oh, he's this, he's that. He's somebody's child at the end of the day, and all he is a child. And what they've done, that, you know what, my stomach, it's disgraceful. It's horrible.
Have you been affected by the feud?
Everybody in Drogheda has.
Everyone is. We're all scared.
You're all scared.
And shocked, especially when you know people.
You know, when you know everybody, it's a small town, everybody knows everybody. And all these people used to be talking, now they don't know what they're at.
No, they're killing each other.
They're killing
literally.
Each other, yeah. Over f***ing money, greed. That's evil, pure evil.
Leave the kids alone, that's basically it.
Leave the kids alone.
Leave the kids alone. let them live.
I feel that we need more beat on the street for starter. I think the Gardaí are overworked.
But the guards did go past just there in one of their special BMWs with guns.
That's what we have come to today. That's our society today, where Gardaí are carrying arms and wearing vests, and people who are living in houses have bulletproof glass in their houses. And you know, you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. What happened to that taxi driver on the Bridge of Peace? You could be just standing outside a shop and something happens, like, you know.
A teenager being chopped up and left in a bag in Coolock. How does that make you feel, and the fact that everyone in this town knows everyone?
Such a young man to come to an end like that, like, it's absolutely horrendous. It's mind-bending. Your mind just can't even go in there. Like,
you're just afraid. You won't be out after the mornings. You're home and all, and you're in your own house by 3 o'clock. If they don't pay up, they're going after their parents, and they've been persecuted.
There doesn't seem to be any way around it.
How many years have you been in Drogheda?
All my life, 77 years.
77 years. Have you ever seen a day like today?
No. Oh, yeah, you would be nervous coming down the town, older people. I was listening to the helicopter going round last night, wondering what, you know.
Okay, Henry McKean reporting there. Kieran, real fear in the voices of those people. Like, there is a point where civilised society has to say enough is enough. We got that with Veronica Guerin's murder. We got it in Limerick. We are surely well past that point in Drogheda and in Dublin now.
You'd imagine so, but I'm going to go back. I know, repeating myself, I'm going to go back to it. How many people during the Limerick gang and were shouting enough is enough and were using cocaine at the weekend? Yeah. I still think that is the main problem. It is supply and demand. If you keep demanding it, someone will supply it. And if you crack down, if all you do is crack down on Kinahans and Hutches and others, someone else will come along with a supply where there's a demand. The problem is people who use coke at the weekends. We're going to stick with this story. At a press briefing in Drogheda last night on this issue, Chief Superintendent Christy Mangan said that the motive for the crime is still unclear.
We have a number of lines of inquiry that we're investigating. We haven't come down on one definitive line, but as I said, it is an absolutely horrific murder of a child.
Yeah, that was Chief Superintendent Christy Mangan speaking last night. Pat Murray is a retired detective inspector. He's the author of The Making of a Detective, a Garda story of investigating some of Ireland's most notorious crimes. Pat, we spoke to John Hand of The Sun earlier, who's covering the story. He used a phrase that a lot of other crime correspondents are using today, narco-terrorism. Does this murder and the way it seems to have been carried out mark an escalation?
Well, you could look at it like that, but we've had various crimes in the past where people have been abducted and, you know, their bodies cut up and buried and dumped in canals and suitcases and all that type of stuff. You know, it is a horrendous crime, and the people who perpetrated it should be brought to justice. And I would have every faith in the detectives in Drogheda, and in particular the Chief Superintendent there, Christy Mangan, who is a very experienced investigator and a man who gets the job done. You know, it is really horrendous, like a young chap like being abducted and beaten, and you know your heart has to go out to the families, you know, relatives of, yeah, of that young man, like, you know, and I'm sure it's on their mind that, like, why weren't they there? Why weren't they there to protect them and all of that, those type of feelings.
And Pat, can I ask, before, like, you know? Look, you've worked at the front line for many years. What is the attraction for young people, be it Keane Mulready? Was there others? There have been others before him as well. This isn't a new phenomenon of young people getting pulled in their teens into the drug trade.
No, simple money. And they see it's an easy way to progress in life, to make money, that they can have a better lifestyle. And it's such they don't realise what they're doing, what they're getting involved in, and the people that they're getting involved in with. And it's, you know, something that I've seen it over the years. I used to present court in Drogheda, and a lot of young people would come before the courts. Some young chaps would see it as a badge of honour to get into prison to do their time, and be sort of macho in that respect, and like and others would see the folly of their way. And usually those people who steered clear of going down the wrong path had, like, you know, families who supported them. And
Pat, you know, I just, like, sorry to interrupt you there, but I just think that's fascinating for all the wrong reasons, maybe, but that there'll be lots of people listening to this who'll talk about cracking down and putting people in prison. But you're suggesting, look, some of these young people actually, it's kind of what, water off a duck's back, spending some time behind bars. It's part and parcel of the life.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can see them and you know them as they come through the court system. And when you engage with them, like as juveniles and that, you can see the ones who are, you know, who are going to go the whole way and those who are not, like, you know. And in Drogheda there is a, you know, a culture of young people who get involved in crime from an early age. And now with the drugs trade, which is so attractive in respect of money that can be made, and these young guys, let's say, who can earn a lot of money very quickly and try to prove themselves within the gang culture, you know, it's attractive to them, and that's it. And they want the money on the weekends. They want the money for their clothes. They can buy cars, whatever they want.
You know? How do you divert them to a different path if the rewards, potential rewards, are so much in terms of money? If the risk in terms of going to prison, is it really considered much of a risk because it doesn't bother them? They know they'll probably spend some time behind bars. How do you make them take a different road?
Well, it's the drug problem is not a problem that can be solved solely by An Garda Síochána. Certainly, An Garda Síochána tackle the gangs and bring people before the courts in respect of these horrendous crimes. But the drug taking and the drug use is a community problem that has to be tackled from all organisations and from parenting right up to, let's say, the Gardaí and all community groups. Like, it's not just a problem that the Gardaí can fix overnight. It's just not that simple. But what I would say is that An Garda Síochána, like, you know, there are very skilled people in the Guards who are very capable of putting together plans to tackle these gangs. And I bring it back there to an operation I ran myself in when I was a detective inspector in Dundalk called Operation Scale.
Yeah.
And it was an intelligence-led operation to tackle criminality in the Dundalk district. And we took on drug dealers, and we took on people who were involved in crime, thefts, burglaries, all of that. We identified them, and we tackled them and put a plan in place. And over a 12-month period, we locked up a number of main players in the gang culture. We recovered over €1 million euros worth of assets. And we also reduced, let's say, the burglary, one figure that always stuck with me, the burglary rate dropped down to 45%. Like, we nearly cut the amount of burglaries in 12 months by half, which is huge. And if you look at the knock-on effects of that, that was, like, we reduced them from something like 600 burglaries down to 300 burglaries. And we're looking at, like, that's 300 houses that didn't have to make a claim for insurance.
Yeah, that's true as well. Another upshot of it.
But look, I'm just saying we certainly tackled the.
And certainly the skills are obviously there if resourced properly. But look, as you said, Pat, it's not just an issue of cracking down and giving those resources to the guards. There is a societal issue here, and you mentioned parents and others that have to step up. Pat Murray, as I said, retired detective inspector. Thanks a million for speaking to us.